is Linda Joy Myers. I am the owner of Memories and Memoirs. I offer memoir writing workshops to people online and in person. And I'm really pleased today to be interviewing Matilda Butler. She is the owner of womensmemoirs.com. She's the author of Rosie's Daughters, a new collective memoir due to come out in October, and she teaches women's memoir writing. How are you this morning, Matilda?
Oh, I'm just great. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. I'm looking forward to talking with you.
Me too. Both Matilda and I are lovers of literature, the art of writing, and particularly memoir writing. And we're going to have a conversation this morning about a couple of things that are important and significant to memoir writers. One of them is, now Matilda offers memoir writing particularly and specifically to women memoirists. So it occurred to me that we should talk about her ideas, perhaps about the difference between men's and women's memoirs and what her approach is. So, Matilda, tell us more about that.
Well, Linda Joy, thank you for asking me that, because that's a good question. It's one that comes up a lot when I talk with women as they begin to plan on writing their memoirs. Probably most of your listeners know the name of Jill Kerr Conway, but just in case they don't or they need to be reminded who she is, they may have seen the television program called The Road from Kurrain, which was the enactment of her first memoir, which told about her life in Australia. Then she has done two more memoirs, one called True North and then another one called Woman's Education. She eventually came to the U.S. and was the first female president of Smith College, so a very significant woman. But one of the things she says when she talks about memoir writing is, she says, men tell stories of how they change the world, and women tell stories of how the world changed them. And I think that's a pretty good sense of this difference in the way in which women look at their lives and the way they interpret them and the way they want to express them and the way men do. There's another author that I think also has a really good take on this. Her name is Marianne Legato. And she wrote the book called, the title almost says it all, Why Men Never Remember and Women Never Forget.
Gee, that's a great title, isn't it?
It is, and she says in her book that men and women think differently, approach problems differently, they emphasize the importance of things differently, and they experience the world around us through entirely different filters. So after looking at those kinds of authors and after talking with people, it really does seem that often, and of course there's always exceptions, but often memoirs written by men talk about how they changed their company, how they influenced the church that they were part of, how they gave to charity, and what a difference it has made in that. It's really not that they aren't doing good things, but it's more their influence on these external institutions. And women, when they write, they often talk about the influence of friends on them, family on them, work on them, their health, the times, their passions. And I like to think of it in that case, if you think of a woman sort of in the middle of a circle and these arrows coming in that influence the woman. But I think more importantly in memoir writing, women actually do both. I mean, they have these multifaceted lives and these situations and times influence them and people, but also they are aware, women are aware, we are aware that we also influence back out. So it
right.
is much more this both influenced by and we influence. So I feel that those are, these are really strong differences. And what I think is wonderful about it is that when you read women's memoirs, and there are so many different types of memoirs, but when you read them, you see these wonderfully multifaceted lives. And I think there's just more texture in women's lives, and therefore when they write about their lives. So those are some of the differences that I see.
That's really inspiring to learn about. I'm learning something about it myself right now as you're speaking. It makes me think about some of the recent research. I know it's controversial, but There was a book that came out last year called The Female Brain,
mm-hmm.
By Luann Brizendine, and she talks about the influence of women's hormones in the developing of a girl's brain. And, you know, and she's not talking about what's better or worse, or it's not a competitive thing between women and men, but she's talking about very real, apparently, according to the research, biological differences. And this flooding of the baby girl's brain in utero with female hormones, and then again at the age of 2, seems to have a big influence around making her more interested in general in connection, in meaning, in the reflection and the inner directedness that you're talking about, what you see in your workshops.
Yes, very much. We certainly know that women seem to be much better at multitasking than men are, and I think that we can see that that could also have had its reasons in survival along the way, because the woman was the one responsible for taking care of the children,
mm-hmm.
and yet looking out for dangers around, and also having to, you know, be the gatherer. So there were a lot of things that historically, as well as we've evolved, that women have seemed to be able to do this multitasking. And almost any woman I bring the topic up with, that's certainly one of the elements they mention, that they're good at taking care of so many different things.
Right. That yes. seems to be true, doesn't it?
Right.
Well, now, you've got a lot of experience in your teaching, and you we've already discussed a little bit about how that you feel there are different types of memoirs that that are written and that women want to write. Would you talk a little bit about that, what types of memoirs that you see people interested in writing, and how do you help them, you know, develop their idea?
Oh, certainly. Women, I think of this as a little bit of the sort of a coming golden age of memoirs, and women are becoming very interested in writing about their lives. I think we've sort of broken out of this notion that we have to keep our lives secret, or that we have to, you know, bury our light under a bushel, that it is fine for us to write about and to talk about. And there's so many different types of memoirs. There's, for instance, coming-of-age memoirs. There's one of the ones that we all see and perhaps ought to be on the top of the list is the celebrity memoir. Well, most of us are not celebrities, but that is certainly one of the types that has helped to focus attention on the memoir. There's memoirs about family relationships. So, well, maybe I should give a couple of examples here. There's, for instance, under family relationships, you have father-daughter relationships, which we don't read about as often, but one of the ones is Maureen Regan's book called First Father, First Daughter, and fascinating as being the daughter of a first marriage, whereas it was really the second marriage that was much more dominant, you know, politically, and that effect on her. So that was a father-daughter. But under the mother-daughter, there's certainly the well-known Vivian Gornick's Fierce Attachments about her relationship with her mother, and you know, and your own wonderful memoir called Don't Call Me Mother, with you and your mother and that relationship. So that is certainly one of the important types. But there are memoirs about crisis. For instance, perhaps you know Gretel Ehrlich's book, A Match to the Heart, mm-hmm. Where the crisis was when she was struck by lightning. So she didn't write about her whole life. She writes about, she begins with that moment when the crisis happened, and then the impact on her afterwards and what her life was like. A related one, but different, is what I call the survival memoir. There's one called Sala's Gift, My Mother's Holocaust Story, by Anne Kirshner. And again, we can write a story that's our story, even though in a way it's another person's story. So this is her mother's story, but it is the impact that it had on her. So it is in that sense her memoir. And then there's stories about growing up ethnic, and maybe one of the best known of those would be Maxine Hong Kingston's The Woman Warrior, Memoirs of a Girlhood Among Ghosts. So that has the very strong sense of how the ethnicity impacts the life story. And then there's ones of travel, all kinds of those. One of the ones I like is Janine Vega's Tracking the Serpent, Journeys to Four Continents. And it's not just travel of I'm going on a vacation, but it was really traveling to understand herself, to understand really, in a sense, a pilgrimage to understand her spiritual self. So there's that kind of travel. There's country life, and there are a number of those. One of the ones I like is Kathleen Miller's The Birdhouse Chronicles, and she subtitles that one Surviving the Joys of Country Life. If someone, I live in the country, so I understand very much that there's the myth of it and the reality of it on day to day.
Exactly. Yeah, well, are these memoirs on your website?
Some of these are on my website, and I do add new ones, and I love to hear from people who visit my website for them to tell me about memoirs that are important to them. Mm-hmm. One of the things I do on my website with when I talk about a memoir, I talk about it really in terms of, in reading it, if you want to write a memoir, here's some lessons you might learn that would help you improve your own writing or the way in which you tell your story.
That's a really, really good idea. Now, would you please spell out your website for people so they'll be sure to know how to find you?
Oh, good. Thank you. Yes. It is www.womens, W-O-M-E-N-S, M-E-M-O-I-R-S.com. So it's all one word, womensmemoirs.com.
Oh, wonderful.
It's been a pleasure talking with you today, Linda Choi.
Oh, it's been great talking with you, Matilda, and you have some really important things to share with us about women writing their memoir in particular. Now, one thing I've noticed is that your new book, Rosie's Daughters, you have, I think, defined a new category in calling it a collective memoir. Would you just tell us just a little bit about your book, and then I understand it's coming out in later in October?
Yes, it is. Oh, thank you. Yes, Rosie's Daughters is, as you mentioned, a collective memoir of American women born during World War II. That's that little sub-generation that were really then the precursors of the baby boom generation. I interviewed more than 100 women and listened to their stories, and call the book Rosie's Daughters because it was Rosie the Riveter that our nation called out of the homes and the roles they'd had in the wife and mother to go out into the workplace to help out during the war effort. Heroic efforts in almost every occupation you can imagine. And then after the war, the government came out with another message that says, now you go back home. And they really basically did. Sure, some continued on, but they really did go back home. So they raised a generation of women, and I'm one of those women, in which I was raised with, you will be a wife and mother, but you need to have an occupation you can fall back on just in case. Because our mothers had gone through the Depression. They knew that times could be hard. And so it was this very interesting mixed message. And I had never found a book that really dealt with this generation of women. And what I found is so often these were the women that, were the first in many of the occupations that they held, the first woman to do any of the jobs that they did. But also many of them were the first in their families to get a college education, certainly the first females to get a college education. Many of them were the first in their families to divorce because it was during our sort of formative time during the early 70s when we had the no-fault divorce. So many things changed. History was just creating so many opportunities, and we were that generation that came along at that time. Mm. So it was because of these women's stories, and I try to fill the book, and I've really filled the book with so many of their stories. It was because of these women that I became so aware of the importance of telling our stories. So many women.
What a great, wonderful book to have coming out for us. One of the things I've seen an advanced copy of the book, and one of the things that I really loved about it are the archival photographs that you've got in there.
Yes.
And showing the, you know, 60, nearly 60 years of women's, you know, the history of women and societal changes. And then you have this wonderful timeline for all these decades running along the bottom so we can see and associate what we were doing when JFK was killed, for instance, and
yeah.
what we were doing at certain moments, and create our own little images of ourselves at these moments. And in a way, it's like kind of creating our biography and our memoir in our minds. Even if we don't write it, we start really thinking about these things as we look at the book.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I wanted to help to create a sense of the time. We're all so busy, and we move forward so fast with our lives. And sometimes being reminded what it was like 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, helps to take us back and helps us to understand and think about our own lives, which is one of the things I certainly hope that women will get from this book.
Well, I'm sure they will, and I really look forward to your book release. Well, it's time for us to sign off, so I just want to thank you again. Again, this call is with Matilda Butler, the owner and teacher of Women Memoir Writing. Her website is womensmemoirs.com. This is Linda Joy Myers, and I'm the owner of Memories and Memoirs, www.memoriesandmemoirs.com. And I hope you've enjoyed our conversation today between two memoirists. Take care, Matilda. Goodbye.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.